Good morning, Talmidim, my good Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayeshev. We heard from the Manal already on Tuesday. The Parshias that we're up to are Parshias of challenges. Parshas Vayeshev, the Manal spoke about the Vay. He spoke last week already about Vayishlach. The word Vay is oy, woe, painful. Vayehi is Loshen Tzar. The word Vay, Vov Yod, is Tzar. The parshas of Vayeshev, Vayishlach Vayeshev, are parshas of challenges where the others went through challenges. As Chazal tells Masa Ovesim Labonim, that the challenges that our others went through is to strengthen us throughout Golas, that we should be empowered, we should have the koiches to deal with the challenges of Golas. We're going to discuss the famous Rashi brings down a Medrash on Vayeshev Yaakov. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Bishalva, Yaakov Avinu wanted to rest in peace. He wanted to have a bit of a break. Kofetz Olav Rigza Shel Yosef. And there comes the story of Yosef. Tzadikim of action Leishev Bishalva. Tzadikim want to be peaceful. Oyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Yidayim L'Tzadikim, not enough that you're going to have peace in the world to come. And the Elma Emes, you're going to have pleasure over there. You want it in this world as well? So I want to discuss that Pasuk. That Rashi, the Medrash. But before that, we see that the tremendous challenges that Yaakov Avinu went through, it's brought down that in Parshas Vayeshev, almost every pasuk in this week's Parsha starts with above. To show that it goes from challenge to challenge. So many challenges. There's either 8 or 9 psukim in this week's Parsha that does not start with above. Most of the parasha starts with a vav that resembles, that shows that sign of challenges, yet 8 or 9 psukim, maybe you'll count it on your free time, you'll see either 8 or 9 psukim does not start with a vav. And the Svarim bring down that every year around Parshas Vayeshev is the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Next week, we're going to be in the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Chanukah, you have Shmoyne Neiris, 8 Neiris, and the Shamas. So it's either 8 or 9 to show us that even when a person goes through challenges, there is light, a strengthening light that comes afterwards. The Yom Tov Chanukah, as we heard from the Manal as well, is usually in the winter. It's dark, it's dreary, it's snowy, it's cold, it's cloudy, we're not seeing the sun. At times when we don't see things going so well, there are challenges, it's dark, it seems dark, it seems dreary. You should know that all this in order to strengthen you for the Yom Tov Chanukah, all this is to let you know that there's good times that are coming. There are happy times that are coming. There are peaceful times that are coming. So when a person goes through a challenge, you should understand that this challenge isn't preparing us for a big light that's coming, a big oir that's coming. Yom Tov Chanukah, we heard that there's a medrash that says that the Pachim Ketana that Yaakov Avinu went back for, in those Pachim Ketana, what were inside, there was the oil, a drop of oil that was there where Yaakov Avinu wanted to seal that oil to stay B'Kedusha for when Klal Yisrael is going to need oil during the times of the Yevonim, Heilig oil to light the menorah. That Shemen HaMishcha was used to anoint the Kehanim, that Shemen HaMishcha was used for the Mizbeach, that Shemen HaMishcha, Yaakov Avinu already didn't allow the Sarishal Esav, the Satan, the Sitra Achra, to infect it with Tumah. He wanted to make sure that Klal Yisrael lives B'Kedusha, and Klal Yisrael has the tool to live B'Kedusha. And those were the Pachim Ketanim, and that's where Yom Tov Chanukah comes from. Kedusha, to be able to show the Yevonim that we are not equal to the rest of the world. We have a concept of Kedusha. So Rambai said, the Yom Tov Chanukah that's coming this week, someone that's not learned, someone that doesn't know the depths of the Helikate of this Yom Tov, it's such a Simchidig Yom Tov, it's such a Helig Yom Tov, it's such a Yom Tov of Oyer, of hidden light. I encourage everyone to learn some Svarim, might be Svarim in English as well, that you could prepare yourself for Yom Tov of Chanukah, to understand some of the hidden pieces of Yom Tov Chanukah, how we can elevate ourselves to live a life to the Kedusha. So that's why this week's Parsha comes to show us a sign that even though Vai, there's so many Vavs Almost every pasuk is involved. Almost every step is a challenge. Understand that there's light coming, and that light is, in order to get to the depths of the light, we have to be able to overcome the challenges. Because Yaakov, Leisha, Mishalva, what did Yaakov Avinu want already? He wanted to rest in peace, yeah? He just finished the Maisa with Esav last week's parasha. Esav, not easy getting out of it. The Sarishal Esav, they wanted to kill him, and the Gidanosh, and before that, Lavan, he went from challenge to challenge to challenge. He had so many hardships in his life, Yaakov Avinu, and finally he wanted to rest. What was his rest going to look like? Was Yaakov Avinu planning to go to the African jungles? Was Yaakov Avinu planning to go to the Swiss Alps? Was Yaakov Avinu planning to go to iFly, to the Science and Industry Museum? Was he going to go to the beach? What was he planning on doing? In big case, Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva. What was his plan of Leisha B'Shalva? What was his vacation going to look like? We're talking about a Yaakov Avinu. Ish Tom Yoshev Aholim, someone that sat and learned, someone that went to for so many years to love on. He went to prepare 14 years in the Mesmedesh of Shem Ever. So what does he do on his free time? What was his vacation going to look like already? So I saw a proton from Sefer, a beautiful heart. Yaakov Avinu Avada, he continuously wanted to grow and continuously wanted to learn. And he felt that at this point in life, his children are old enough to be able to be on their own. I was mechanech my kids the way it should be. Chabavegishtel 12 Shvatim. I think that at this stage in life, my kids are beseder. They're okay. They don't need my full-time intervention anymore. They're good to go. Now I can continue working on myself. I can continue learning. I can continue working on my own, on myself. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you have kindlech. Kindlech always need the support of the adults. Kindlech always need their rabbeim. Kindlech always need their mechanchim. They're never too old that, okay, they're on their own. Many children feel, you know what, I know what's right. I know what to do. I know what's not to do. I don't need a rabbi. I don't need a teacher. I don't need an adult. I don't need a parent to tell me what to do. I'm okay. I'm good. But Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no. That's not how I created people. I created people that they should need their rabbeim. I created people that they should need their parents. They should need their teachers. They should need everyone to help form them and shape them. Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva. Yaakov thought, okay, I did my duty for chinuch. Can I in a hurry have 12 shvatim, beautiful kindlech? Zakta Kodesh Baruch Hu, no. Continue being mechanech them. This week's 8th grade, there was two of the rabbeim had a simcha, and they were coming back. Probably didn't sleep that night, coming back straight from the simcha, flying back to Chicago. And came about a half hour after class started. And they asked if we should tell Talmidim to sit in the Beis Medrash and learn the Beis Medrash until the rabbeim come. I walked into the Beis Medrash about 10-15 minutes after I told them to come to the Beis Medrash. And it was such a beautiful nachas to watch. Everyone was sitting and learning with the chavrusas. There were no adults in the Beis Medrash. They were just learning, the 8th graders. Everyone was learning with the chavrusas. There was no Rebbe. The Rebbe was coming a few minutes late. And everyone sat and learned. It was so beautiful. It was a nachas ruach to watch. I called the English principal. Let him also come and join the nachas. Took some pictures. It was beautiful. There was no one there. And Mamash Oil was hacking and learning. It was beautiful to watch. That also has a time limit, how much time they have that stamina. Even if you're able to learn without the adult there, every child, no matter how old you are, you need that adult, you need that Rebbe, you need that parent, you need that someone that can be shoylaitzi, you need a Rav, you need someone that can help guide you. And that was the message that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu. I understand that your rest, your peace, your break that you need is not because you learned for 20 minutes, now I have to take a break. I was in this medrash for 5 minutes, now I have to take a break. I was in class already for half hour. I must take a break. I can't sit so long. That wasn't what Yaakov Avinu wanted. Yaakov Avinu wanted, yes, to be able to learn more. Yes, to be able to avoid this Hashem. But I thought that maybe I could, my kids are, I don't have to worry that much about my kids. I don't have to support them that much. So the Beshefer, no, Kinderlich will always need the support. So Tamidim, you have the support. You have the parents. You have the Rabbeim. You have the teachers. You have everyone that you need. You can learn from everyone. You can learn from everyone, and you should learn from everyone. And the Pasuk, Ben Zikunim Ulai, that Yosef was a Ben Zikunim to Yaakov. What is Ben Zikunim? So Rashi says that he was Bar Chakim, he was a smart child. Yaakov Avinu gave over to Yosef everything that he learned from the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, he gave over to Yosef. He had that bond between Yaakov and Yosef. Kol Mashalomad Meshem Ve'Ever, Masaloi. Yaakov Avinu gave everything over to Yosef. He should be a smart child. Ki Ben Zikunim Ulai, as the Tarvan Taichus means he was a smart kid. He was well learned, he was well prepared. So I saw the Halig Ostrov to ask a question. Why did Yitzchak only teach Yosef? Why did Yaakov only teach Yosef what he learned in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever? Yaakov learned from Yitzchak. Yaakov learned from Avram. Yaakov learned from so many people. Why only what he learned in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever did he give over to Yosef HaTzadik? So the Halig Ostrov says that there's different types of lemudim that a person has to learn. Every person comes down to this world with a different tafkid, and his needs and his life is going to be different. Everyone looks equal here in the Beis Medrash. Everyone looks the same, just a different color shirt could be. Yet everyone is going to lead a different life. We don't know where everyone is going to be in 20 years from now. Everyone is, Siyata Nishmaya, will be leading a Torah Digger life and a successful life. But everyone's path is a bit different. Yaakov Avinu, before he went into Golus, he knew that he has to learn from Shem Ve'Ever. Because Shem Ve'Ever, Shem, went through the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul were not good people. People that would steal and people that would hurt. The Dor HaMabul were not good people. Ever lived through Dor HaFloga. Dor HaFloga wanted to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a generation of people that rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu had a complete different style. His learning was different. Avraham Avinu was a leader. He introduced people to Yiddishkeit. He introduced the Yeshmana Glabira. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Everything that's happening in this world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was a leader in establishing Yiddishkeit. The Limudim of Avraham Avinu, Avraham and Yitzchak, to the Limudim of Shem Ve'Ever was very, very different. Avraham and Yitzchak stood for what Yiddishkeit is all about. Shem Ve'Ever, what they had to teach was how to live in a generation that's not a good generation, that the influence is not good, and how to live in such a generation and still stay strong to Yiddishkeit, still be strong and not learn from that generation. Yaakov Avinu understood that Yosef is going to have a challenging life as well. He's going to go down to Mitzrayim, he's going to need chizuk, he's going to be in a filthy place. And he's going to need that strength to be able to overcome the challenges of Mitzrayim. So Yaakov took what he learned from the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, where they themselves went through challenges. That Yaakov went to learn there before he went to Lavan, because Yaakov knew that he's going to have those challenges in Lavan's house. The trickster, how to be able to still live with the trickster for so many years and be able to say him Lavan Garti, V'tayeg Mitzvah Shamarti. If you're living in an environment that's not good, it's very easy to become influenced by that environment. They try to advertise, they try to make things to catch you into their net. Those people that are not good. Shem Ve'Ever learned how to be able to be in such a rotten environment and stay strong. Yaakov learned that from Shem Ve'Ever. And he gave that over to Yosef. You're going down to Mitzrayim, you have to understand that even if you're going to be in an environment that's not good, we're not going to learn from their deeds. We're not going to learn from how they act. We're going to stay strong and we're going to stay b'kedusha. That's the limud that Yosef needed to hear from Yaakov going into Galus. We're living in Galus. Our Galus, Baruch Hashem, allows us to learn both limudim. How to stay strong, be mekadesh Shem Shamayim. And in an environment that's not so good, outside of the walls of the Beis Medrash, the environment is not so good. We use the tools of Yosef, Yaakov, Shem Ve'Ever, that even though we're in an environment that's trying to pull us and grab us into so many different areas, we stay strong and say, no, we're not going to get pulled into, we're not going to get dragged into that environment. Yet the message that we always need the adults, we always need the parents, we always need the mechanchem, that's something that has to stick with us. Never should we think that, okay, I'm old enough, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough, I can make my own decisions. The importance of being able to be shoel etzer, the importance of being able to ask a question, is this okay, is this normal, is this not normal, I want this, is it appropriate for me, is it not appropriate for me? Always, always, always discuss that. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu. Don't think that your kids are ready on their own. You have to be there to guide them at all stages in life. I want to finish off with a current event story that happened recently. Normally, if I hear a story that happened, I try to tie it into a lesson. It happens to be that this story, I heard this yesterday, it is so interesting that I couldn't even come up with a lesson. Very interesting. Perhaps you may come up with a lesson. You can think of a connection. So I'm going to share the story. I don't have a lesson to it yet. But if you do have a good lesson, you think, I would be very appreciative if you could write it on a piece of paper and put it in my mailbox. I want to study it. I want to learn it. I want to chap a chizuk. Everything that you hear, everything that you see is supposed to be a lesson for you. There is an art industry. The art industry are especially for artists that understand art, understand colors, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry, the art industry. And every few months, every few years, different places have an art show, an art gallery to display from artists from all over the world, display their paintings, display their pieces of art, etc. There is an artist from Italy, I believe, and he felt that it's important for even those that don't consider themselves artists to appreciate art. Not everybody appreciates art, but everybody could get themselves into art. So someone, for example, that's color deficient, or someone that's colorblind, they can't become an artist because what do they know about colors? But he felt that everybody can have a connection to art, because art is such a special thing that it doesn't mean that you have to know how to draw, you have to know how to paint. You should have some connection to art. So he decided to create a piece of art where anyone could make something similar to that, just to pique the interest of people to say, you know what, maybe I could also be an artist. So what did he do? He took a banana. And then he took a piece of gray duct tape and taped the banana to the wall or onto a canvas, and he took it with him to an art gallery, an art show, and they hung up this banana taped with duct tape to the wall. And he named it. This piece of art is called The Comedian. And all the artists are coming and they're looking. Wow! Banana. The duct tape. It's unbelievable. Some artists looked at it. What is it? A joke or something? A joke? I mean, come on. You're pasting a banana to even one of the artists. I'm not sure if this happened part of this story or this was previously. One of the artists that was walking by, he just pulled it off the wall and peeled it and ate up the banana. Okay, so they put up so the artist felt again violated. I mean, you can't just take a banana. I mean, it costs about 8 to 10 cents. You can't just take it off. So he got another banana and posted on, and now they put security over there to make sure that nobody touches the banana. No, I'm sorry, no one touches the piece of art. And it's a piece of art. Rabbi Sa, you wouldn't believe what happened 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. The end of November. At the art gallery in New York, it was a very chashuva art gallery. One of the people that came to visit the exhibit felt, oh no, I need to own that piece of art. This is something that I need to own. It came to the auction time, the end of the art gallery, they were auctioning off all the pieces of art. And that piece of art, they started auctioning it off. And this person said, I am going to own that piece of art. Believe it or not, Rabbi Sai, 6, $1.2 million the person paid for the piece of art. The actual art was, I think, 5.2, but the auction house takes a percentage, and the percentage was $1 million. So he paid a total of $6.2 million for a piece of art that was a banana stuck with a piece of duct tape up to the wall. And he felt that this is such an unbelievable piece of art that everyone could access it. Everyone could access the art, that he bought it with him, and he took it back to where he lives. And 2 weeks later, which was this week, I believe it happened, he felt that the piece of art has had its time. It gave over the message. I spent the money that it was worth it. And now it's time to eat the banana. And he had the whole, they called all the communications, all the news broadcasts, and everybody came to video him and to record him, watch him eating a $6.2 million piece of art. Rabbeisai, there is definitely something to it, because it's definitely, it happened, it was paid for, it was bought, and a lot of people wowed it. Even though I may not understand it, but there are people that do, to the extent that they're willing to pay that amount of money, and people in the auction were bidding to. So it didn't start at $6.2 million or $5.2. It started at lower, and a lot of people were bidding on that piece of art. So there's something deeper to it that I may not understand. I look forward to hearing from your wisdom how to be able to connect that to something, some form of a lesson that we can come out of, that we could learn, that we can stay strong, perhaps even during the times of the dark times of the winter and the challenges, to bring that piece of light and bring that chinuch. Just one second, tell me.